The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
Wherever you are, I hope that you're enjoying some nice weather. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Today is Wednesday, April 19th, 2023, Wednesday of the second week of Easter. In the Missal, it's liturgical year A, cycle 1. Wednesday is a day to pray the glorious mysteries of the Rosary. And our saint today is Saint Alphege of Canterbury. Born in 954, he became a member of the Bath Monastery and eventually its abbot. At the early age of 30, he was consecrated Bishop of Winchester. His generosity to the poor was so great that beggars were nowhere to be found in his diocese. He was elevated to England's primatial see of Canterbury, and then in 1011, Canterbury was overrun by Danish invaders. Archbishop Alphege declared, "Spare these innocent poor victims. Turn your fury rather against me." Well, they did. Alphege was consigned to a dungeon. An epidemic among the Danes frightened them into releasing him. He obtained the healing of many victims of the epidemic by his prayers and by distributing to them blessed bread. Despite this, the Danes later stoned and axed him to death in Greenwich in 1012. Saint Alphege of Canterbury, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Into thy hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves this day and all those who are dear to us. Let the gift of thy wonderful presence be with us even to the end of the day. Grant that we never lose sight of thee all the day long, but rather praise and beseech thee that our thanks may come to thee again at its close. Amen. And we join Pope Francis in praying for the spread of peace and nonviolence by decreasing the use of weapons by states and citizens. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. There are a number of particularly memorable quotes in the Gospels. I wonder if you can think of any. I wonder if any stand out for you. There might be ones like this. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Or another shorter one, when our Lord tells us, do not cast pearls before swine. Or simply when our Lord told the apostles, I will make you fishers of men. Or when Jesus, you told us, the truth will make you free. Or when you said, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and the one who knocks shall have it opened. Or another great one, I have come that they may have life, and have it abundantly. But possibly the most famous of all, the most memorable quote of all of our Lord from the Gospels, comes in today's Mass, where Jesus, you said to Nicodemus, this is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but may have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for these beautifully encouraging words. And then you continue explaining how God's plan to save us is through you, Lord Jesus. Precisely, belief in Christ is salvation. The refusal to believe is condemnation. What I find very interesting in this passage, today's Gospel, is how our Lord continues. Because here Jesus links salvation with sincerity, or better said, faith with sincerity. Receiving salvation is not only faith, but it's sincere faith. It's opening to the light, coming out into the light. So Jesus, you continue. On these grounds is sentence pronounced. That though the light has come into the world, men have shown they prefer darkness to the light, because their deeds were evil. And indeed, everybody who does wrong hates the light and avoids it, for fear his actions should be exposed. But the man who lives by the truth comes out into the light, so it may be plainly seen that what he does is done in God. Holy Spirit, help us to unpack these words in the remainder of this time of prayer. Jesus, you tell us men prefer darkness to light because their deeds are evil. And that's very true, isn't it? People who do wrong tend to avoid the light for fear their actions may be exposed. How many crimes are done at night? It's the time of crime and evil, isn't it? Nighttime. It's very rare to do an obvious act of evil in the daytime. And if it happens, it's because evil really has taken control. Maybe in a war scenario where one side is so dominant, it attacks the other in daytime because they're so much in control. But it's a sign that evil is in control. Generally, crimes and evil are performed at night. It's the most typical time. However, I did have a bit of a opposite experience the other day in my city. I live in Manchester in the north of England. Now, please don't think this is normal in Manchester. Manchester's a very nice city. But the other day, I saw this in pictures very near to my house, in a big sort of shopping road near my house. Thieves drove a car into the window of a jeweller's shop, smashing it and then taking all the jewels. And this in broad daylight. Obviously, a lot of people videoed it. But yet, normally, night and darkness is the time of crime. And people in all sorts of ways prefer darkness. They prefer the darkness of thought, the darkness of lies, the darkness of insincerity. The terrain of the devil is darkness. The devil is a night creature. He functions better at night. Like an owl functions better at night, or animals which hunt at night. The devil is like one of those animals that's not comfortable in the daylight. So the more honest and more sincere we are, the less we are under the power of the devil. Christ rising from the dead conquers the darkness, and precisely his resurrection was the beginning of light, the beginning of dawn. Jesus, you call yourself the light of the world. We lived that wonderful Easter vigil the other night when part of the rite is the candle going through the darkness, and little by little the lights, the candles of the faithful are lit from that main candle, a great symbol of light conquering darkness. There's a great link between Christ's conquest of sin and coming into the light. It's part of the resurrection, part of the new life that you offer us, Jesus. Death, in so many ways, is darkness. Life is light. There'll be no darkness in heaven. It'll all be light. And likewise, wounds heal much better in the light. If you can get your wound exposed to the sun, it's much better for you. It'll heal much more quickly. Here's a powerful idea from a French novel, George Bernanos, La Joie, Joy, in which one of the characters, who's precisely a rather deceitful character, has this to say: we all have our secrets, a whole load of secrets, which end up rotting in the conscience, being consumed there, slowly, slowly. Well, that's a dreadful situation to be in, isn't it? And this won't happen if we're sincere in confession and spiritual guidance and come into the light. These secrets would be like an inner disease, like a cancer eating us up, if we don't speak to whom we should speak. St. Jose Maria would talk of being sincere with God, sincere with ourselves, and sincere with others. Sincere with God, is my prayer an honest prayer? Am I really seeking you, God? Am I ready to listen to you? St. Augustine said that God is always ready to give, as long as we're ready to receive the gifts he wants to give, the gifts he offers. And sometimes we're not ready to receive. We don't want, for example, the truth. We don't want God to tell us the truth. We don't want God to reveal to us the truth of our situation. We'd rather live a lie. There's that song, which some of you will know. It's perhaps a little bit dated, and I won't sing it because I sing badly, but here are the lyrics. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies. People want to be lied to. I think of chat shows, which are so often an exercise in lying, in mutual deception. You know, one celebrity comes on and says all sorts of things which aren't really true, and the interviewer sort of goes along with it, and we're tricked too. He said, we're not tricked because we sense the falsehood. It's an exercise in falsehood. Sincerity with ourselves. There might be a lot that we'd rather not see. I don't want to go down there. Imagine you came across a big spider in a drawer and you're scared of spiders. You see it and you close the drawer. You don't dare open it again. There might be things in our life that we don't dare open. Weaknesses, vices, wounds. So what do we do? Well, the best thing to do, if we're frightened to open that, is to ask someone else to open the drawer and deal with the spider. And likewise, we may need to get help from certainly a spiritual director, certainly a priest in confession, maybe a friend, at times even a psychological counsellor. I remember reading an article about someone stopping pornography, and it involved various steps: admitting the problem to himself, getting an accountability partner, that was embarrassing, and more. The foolish thing, going back to the spider image, would be to put a cloth over the drawer and pretend it's not there, and then try to explain away the cloth to others when they ask. With others, sincerity, particularly in confession. And there, perhaps just a little practical tip. You know, when you go to confession, don't be too vague. You don't have to give all the gruesome details to the priest, and it wouldn't help him. But sometimes people say, oh, I had bad thoughts. Well, at least I had sinful thoughts against purity, or at least be a little bit more explicit. At least the priest has to know roughly what you're talking about. Be a little bit more honest. Likewise, in spiritual guidance. Spiritual guidance can do us a lot of good if we use it properly, but it can do us a lot of harm if we don't do it well, if we use it badly. It's very foolish to hide things, as it would be foolish to hide things from a doctor. Not only can he not help us, but he might actually give us the wrong diagnosis on the basis of the sparse information that we give him. Sincerity with others will involve saying these things to priest, confessor, sometimes even our boss. If we've mucked up, we may have to say it. But also sincerity with others might involve telling things to people that they need to hear. Not dodging, for example, giving that correction. How often we dodge or we go about things in a roundabout way, when the best would have been just to say that thing clearly, some big mistake that person's making in their lives, some bad habit they're unaware of. This is coming into the light to ourselves and bringing others into the light. But the man who lives by the truth comes out into the light, so it may be plainly seen that what he does is done in God. What a beautiful line from you, Lord Jesus. Let's finish going to Our Lady. When Our Lady was told by the angel that she would be the Mother of God, that she would conceive, Mary answered, "How can this be, since I know not man?" She saw a problem, she said it. She was very sincere and straightforward, and so the angel very easily gave her the solution. The more sincere we are, the easier it is for God to work on our soul and for Christ to be born within us. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
There's more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. It's 15 past the hour on Daybreak. It's Wednesday of the second week of Easter. I'm Paul Sadek, and this is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And we begin our day of prayer with the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will proclaim your praise.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
Come, let us sing to the Lord and shout with joy to the rock who saves us. Let us approach him with praise and thanksgiving, and sing joyful songs to the Lord.
The Lord is God, the mighty God, the great King over all the gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth, and the highest mountains as well. He made the sea, it belongs to him. The dry land too, for it was formed by his hands.
Come then, let us bow down and worship, bending the knee before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are his people, the flock he shepherds.
Today listen to the voice of the Lord. Do not grow stubborn as your fathers did in the wilderness, when at Meribah and Massah they challenged me and provoked me, although they had seen all of my works.
40 years I endured that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord is risen. Alleluia.
We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. Alleluia.
I said, I will be watchful of my ways, for fear I should sin with my tongue. I will put a curb on my lips when the wicked man stands before me. I was dumb, silent, and still. His prosperity stirred my grief. My heart was burning within me. At the thought of it, the fire blazed up and my tongue burst into speech. O Lord, you have shown me my end. How short is the length of my days! Now I know how fleeting is my life. You have given me a short span of days. My life is as nothing in your sight, a mere breath, the man who stood so firm, a mere shadow, the man passing by, a mere breath, the riches he hoards, not knowing who will have them.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We groan in pain as we await the redemption of our bodies. Alleluia.
Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain. Alleluia.
And now, Lord, what is there to wait for? In you rests all my hope. Set me free from all my sins. Do not make me the taunt of the fool. I was silent, not opening my lips, because this was all your doing. Take away your scourge from me. I am crushed by the blows of your hand. You punish man's sin and correct him. Like the moth, you devour all he treasures. Mortal man is no more than a breath. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, turn your ear to my cry. Do not be deaf to my tears. In your house I am a passing guest, a pilgrim, like all my fathers. Look away that I may breathe again before I depart to be no more.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Through your Son you taught us, Father, not to be fearful of tomorrow, but to commit our lives to your care. Do not withhold your Spirit from us, but help us find a life of peace after these days of trouble.
Hear and answer my prayer, O Lord. Let me not weep in vain. Alleluia.
I have put all my trust in God's never-failing mercy. Alleluia.
Why do you boast of your wickedness, you champion of evil, planning ruin all day long, your tongue like a sharpened razor, you master of deceit? You love evil more than good, lies more than truth. You love the destructive word, you tongue of deceit. For this, God will destroy you and remove you forever. He will snatch you from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. The just shall see and fear. They shall laugh and say, "So this is the man who refused to take God as his stronghold, but trusted in the greatness of his wealth and grew powerful by his crimes." But I am like a growing olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the goodness of God forever and ever. I will thank you forevermore. For this is your doing. I will proclaim that your name is good in the presence of your friends.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, you cut down the unfruitful branch for burning, and prune the fertile to make it bear more fruit. Make us grow like laden olive trees in your domain, firmly rooted in the power and mercy of your Son, so that you may gather from us fruit worthy of eternal life.
I have put all my trust in God's never-failing mercy. Alleluia.
God raised up Christ from the dead. Alleluia.
So that all our faith and hope might be in God.
Alleluia.
A reading from the book of Revelation to the churches at Pergamum and Thyatira. I, John, heard the Lord saying to me, to the presiding spirit of the church in Pergamum, write this. The one with the sharp, two-edged sword has this to say. I know you live in the very place where Satan's throne is erected, and I know you hold fast to my name and have not denied the faith you have in me. Not even at the time when Antipas, my faithful witness, was martyred in your city, where Satan has his home. Nevertheless, I hold a few matters against you. There are some among you who follow the teaching of Balaam, who instructed Balak to throw a stumbling block in the way of the Israelites by tempting them to eat food sacrificed to idols and to practice fornication. Yes, you too have those among you who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent. If you do not, I will come to you soon and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Let him who has ears heed the Spirit's word to the churches. To the victor I will give the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone upon which is inscribed a new name, to be known only by him who receives it. To the presiding spirit in the church at Thyatira, write this. The Son of God, whose eyes blaze like fire and whose feet gleam like polished brass, has this to say. I know your deeds, your love and faith and service, as well as your patient endurance. I also know that your efforts of recent times are greater than ever. Nevertheless, I hold this against you. You tolerated Jezebel, that self-styled prophetess, who seduces my servants by teaching them to practice lewdness and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I have given her a chance to repent, but she refuses to turn from her lewdness. I mean to cast her down on a bed of pain. Her companions in sin I will plunge into intense suffering unless they repent of their sins with her, and her children I will put to death. Thus shall all the churches come to know that I am the searcher of hearts and minds, and that I will give each of you what your conduct deserves. And now I address myself to you others in Thyatira who do not uphold this teaching and know nothing of the so-called deep secrets of Satan. On you I place no further burden. In any case, hold fast to what you have until I come. To the one who wins victory, who keeps to my ways till the end, I will give authority over the nations, the same authority I received from my Father. He shall rule them with a rod of iron and shatter them like crockery, and I will give him the morning star. Let him who has ears heed the Spirit's word to the churches. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
These are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire. I search the mind and the heart,
and I will repay each one as his deeds deserve. Alleluia.
Behold, I am coming soon, and I bring my reward with me.
And I will repay each one as his deeds deserve. Alleluia.
From a sermon by St. Leo the Great, Pope. My dear brethren, there is no doubt that the Son of God took our human nature into so close a union with himself that one and the same Christ is present not only in the firstborn of all creation, but in all his saints as well. The head cannot be separated from the members, nor the members from the head. Not in this life, it is true, but only in eternity will God be all in all. Yet even now he dwells, whole and undivided, in his temple, the church. Such was his promise to us when he said, "See, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And so all that the Son of God did and taught for the world's reconciliation is not for us simply a matter of past history. Here and now, we experience his power at work among us. Born of a virgin mother by the action of the Holy Spirit, Christ keeps his church spotless and makes her fruitful by the inspiration of the same Spirit. In baptismal regeneration, she brings forth children for God beyond all numbering. These are the sons of whom it is written, "They are born not of blood, nor of the desire of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." In Christ, Abraham's posterity is blessed, because in him the whole world receives the adoption of sons, and in him the patriarch becomes the father of all nations through the birth, not from human stock, but by faith, of the descendants that were promised to him. From every nation on earth, without exception, Christ forms a single flock of those he has sanctified, daily fulfilling the promise he once made. "I have other sheep, not of this fold, whom it is also ordained that I shall lead, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Although it was primarily to Peter that he said, "Feed my sheep," yet the one Lord guides all pastors in the discharge of their office and leads to rich and fertile pastures all those who come to the rock. There is no counting the sheep who are nourished with his abundant love and who are prepared to lay down their lives for the sake of the good shepherd who died for them. But it is not only the martyrs who share in his passion by their glorious courage. The same is true by faith of all who are born again in baptism. That is why we are to celebrate the Lord's Paschal sacrifice with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The leaven of our former malice is thrown out, and a new creature is filled and inebriated with the Lord himself. For the effect of our sharing in the body and blood of Christ is to change us into what we receive. As we have died with him and have been buried and raised to life with him, so we bear him within us, both in body and in spirit, in everything we do. I am the good shepherd.
I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Alleluia.
I shall look after my sheep and seek them out. I shall bring them out from among the peoples and lead them to pasture.
I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Alleluia.
Let us pray. God of mercy, you have filled us with the hope of resurrection by restoring man to his original dignity. May we, who relive this mystery each year, come to share it in perpetual love. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
25 minutes before the hour, today's gospel is coming up in just a few minutes, along with In Conversation with God and Morning Prayer on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Wednesday, April 19th, 2023. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, we continue with the secret nighttime meeting between the Lord and Nicodemus. And the Lord tells us something that is very comforting. From the third chapter of the Gospel of John.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God.
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. Well, I've said it before, so much of the spiritual life is a matter of the will and not of how you feel. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. In the service of God, a Christian should be guided by faith, and in this way overcome the ups and downs of moods. To guide myself by mere sentiment would be like putting a servant in charge of the household and causing the master to relinquish his position. Sentiment is not what is bad, but the importance that is given to it. In certain souls, the emotions constitute all their piety, to such an extent that they are convinced that they have lost it whenever the feeling goes away. If only these souls could understand that this is precisely the moment in which to begin to have it. Love that is true, whether the senses have a part in it or not, includes all aspects of our existence in a true unity of life. It leads us to insert God into everything which otherwise would be insipid without him. A pious person whose piety is not superficial strives to fulfill his duty. Sincere devotion leads to work, to the willing fulfillment of the duties of each day, even when this is hard. There is an intimate union between this interior supernatural reality and the external manifestations of human activity. Professional work, human relationships of friendship and companionship, striving shoulder to shoulder with our fellow citizens to achieve the well-being and progress of society are the natural fruits. A logical consequence of this sap of Christ, which is the life of our soul. False piety does not make any impact on the ordinary life of a Christian. It does not become transformed into improved behavior or into helping others. The fulfillment of the will of God in the duties, generally small, of every day is the most sure guide for the Christian who has to find holiness in the midst of earthly realities. There are very different ways in which these duties may be carried out, with resignation, like somebody who has no alternative but to do them, accepting them, which involves a deeper and more thoughtful commitment, agreeably, wanting what God wants, because even though it may not be seen at this moment, the Christian knows that God is our Father and that He wants the best for His children. Or even better, with complete abandonment, embracing the will of God at all times without laying down any limits whatever. This last is what our Lord asks from us, to love Him without any conditions, without waiting for more favorable situations in the ordinary things of every day, and if He should so permit, in more difficult and extraordinary circumstances. As soon as you truly abandon yourself in the Lord, you will know how to be content with whatever happens. You will not lose your peace if your undertakings do not turn out the way you hoped, even if you have put everything into them and used all the means necessary, for they will have turned out the way God wants them to. With the words of a prayer that the Church suggests to us for use after Mass, let us say to our Lord, I want whatever you want. I want because you want. I want as you want. I want as long as you want. Our Blessed Lady, who pronounced and put into practice that, be it done unto me according to thy word, will help us to fulfill the will of God in everything. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. 16 before the hour, we join the whole Church in prayer as we're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia.
The waters saw you, O God. You led your people through the sea. Alleluia.
The waters saw you, O God. You led your people through the sea. Alleluia.
I cry aloud to God. Cry aloud to God that He may hear me.
In the day of my distress, I sought the Lord. My hands were raised at night without ceasing. My soul refused to be consoled. I remembered my God, and I groaned. I pondered, and my spirit fainted.
You withheld sleep from my eyes. I was troubled. I could not speak. I thought of the days of long ago, and I remembered the years long past. At night I mused within my heart. I pondered, and my spirit questioned.
Will the Lord reject us forever? Will He show us His favor no more? Has His love vanished forever? Has His promise come to an end? Does God forget His mercy or in anger withhold His compassion?
I said, this is what causes my grief, that the way of the Most High has changed. I remember the deeds of the Lord. I remember your wonders of old. I muse on all your works and ponder your mighty deeds.
Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You showed your power among the peoples. Your strong arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph.
The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and trembled. The depths were moved with terror. The clouds poured down rain. The skies sent forth their voice. Your arrows flashed to and fro.
Your thunder rolled around the sky. Your flashes lighted up the world. The earth was moved and trembled when your way led through the sea, your path through the mighty waters, and no one saw your footprints.
You guided your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Father, you established your ancient covenant by signs and wonders. But more wondrously, you confirmed the new one through the sacrifice of your Son. Guide your Church through the pathways of life, that we may be led to the land of promise and celebrate your name with lasting praise.
The waters saw you, O God. You led your people through the sea. Alleluia.
The Lord puts to death and raises to life. Alleluia.
The Lord puts to death and raises to life. Alleluia.
My heart exalts in the Lord. My horn is exalted in my God.
I have swallowed up my enemies. I rejoice in my victory. There is no holy one like the Lord. There is no rock like our God.
Speak boastfully no longer, nor let arrogance issue from your mouths. For an all-knowing God is the Lord, a God who judges deeds.
The bows of the mighty are broken, while the tottering gird on strength. The well-fed hire themselves out for bread, while the hungry batten on spoil. The barren wife bears 7 sons, while the mother of many languishes.
The Lord puts to death and gives life. He casts down to the nether world. He raises up again. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He humbles. He also exalts.
He raises the needy from the dust. From the ash heap, he lifts up the poor to seat them with nobles and make a glorious throne their heritage.
For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the footsteps of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall perish in the darkness. For not by strength does man prevail. The Lord's foes shall be shattered.
The Most High in heaven thunders. The Lord judges the ends of the earth. Now may he give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
The Lord puts to death and raises to life. Alleluia.
A light has dawned for the just. Joy has come to the upright of heart. Alleluia.
A light has dawned for the just. Joy has come to the upright of heart. Alleluia.
The Lord is King. Let earth rejoice. Let all the coastlands be glad. Cloud and darkness are his raiment, his throne, justice and right.
A fire prepares his path. It burns up his foes on every side. His lightnings light up the world. The earth trembles at the sight.
The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The skies proclaim his justice. All people see his glory.
Let those who serve idols be ashamed, those who boast of their worthless gods. All you spirits, worship him.
Zion hears and is glad. The people of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord.
For you indeed are the Lord, most high above all the earth, exalted far above all spirits.
The Lord loves those who hate evil. He guards the souls of his saints. He sets them free from the wicked.
Light shines forth for the just, and joy for the upright of heart. Rejoice, you just, in the Lord. Give glory to his holy name.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, you clothe the sky with light and the depths of the ocean with darkness. Among the sons of men you work wonders and rain terror upon the enemy. Look upon your servants. Do not try us by fire, but bring us rejoicing to the shelter of your home.
A light has dawned for the just.
Joy has come to the upright of heart. Alleluia.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. If we have died with Christ, we believe that we are also to live with him. We know that Christ, once raised from the dead, will never die again. Death has no more power over him. His death was death to sin, once for all. His life is life for God. In the same way, you must consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive for God in Christ Jesus. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
He hung upon the cross for us.
Alleluia, alleluia.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
The Lord is risen from the tomb. Alleluia, alleluia.
God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son to save all who have faith in him and to give them eternal life. Alleluia.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham. To set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our lives.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son to save all who have faith in him and to give them eternal life. Alleluia. By the gift of the Father, the risen Christ was seen by the apostles. Let us pray to the Father and say,
Give us, Lord, the glory of your Son.
Father of lights, today we offer you our thanks and praise for calling us into your marvelous light.
To receive your mercy,
give us, Lord, the glory of your Son. May the efforts of mankind to make the world more human
be purified and strengthened by the power of your Spirit.
Give us, Lord, the glory of your Son.
May we be so dedicated to the service of others
that the whole human family may become a pleasing sacrifice in your honor.
Give us, Lord, the glory of your Son.
At the dawn of a new day, fill us with your mercy,
that the whole day may be a day of joy and praise.
Give us, Lord, the glory of your Son.
With the longing for the coming of God's kingdom, let us offer our prayer to the Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
As we recall year by year the mysteries by which, through the restoration of its original dignity, human nature has received the hope of rising again, we earnestly beseech your mercy, Lord, that what we celebrate in faith, we may possess in unending love. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
And so we're up to the middle of the week. John and Glenn are standing by with morning air in just a few minutes. Patrick Madrid a bit later on this morning. I'm Paul Sadek. Let's get together again tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. You go out now and make this a great day and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.